That is, must be about 18 years we have warned you all about the clock going forward or back. We've had it in the programme, we've announced it. This year we failed.
You did?
Yes. And about, I don't know, what time was it when Graham called us?
Well, it was about
25
past eight,
wasn't it?
Because
we
were
still in bed.
So you're as bad as I am then. With your clock, were you?
Oh, wow.
First time in all those years.
Wow.
It wasn't in the service sheet last week. We didn't announce it.
No.
We always do, normally.
I know, you always. That's
why we were trying to think why the clocks were wrong. And then suddenly the truth dawned.
Oh no.
There we are, we're all here now, so over to Ginny.
Oh, thank you. Right. So we're going to sing this wonderful hymn, O God of Burning Cleansing Flame, written by William Booth in 1829. And of course, he formed the Salvation Army in 1865, and he wrote this, and it was published in the War Cry in 1894 when he was 65. So a lot of lessons, and it's based on, as you probably know, the story of Elijah, when Elijah calls out to God to bring down the fire against Baal. And also it refers to Pentecost. So what we want to see is more fire. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and we want to see revival. So that's what we're going to start with this morning. The scriptures that Bruce will be speaking on this morning follow when Pentecost came. So it all fits in.
Thanks for explaining that.
You're welcome. So let's just pray before we start. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us here this morning. We lift Bruce to you and Deborah, who are not with us this morning. And Lord, just thank you that we can come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, may this be a joyous time together. Worshipping you and hearing your word, Jesus. So thank you, Lord, that we can meet in this freedom this morning.
Amen.
Bye. to go into seek ye first the kingdom of God. We'll see how, as the believers came together, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of bread, to prayer and fellowship. And this song talks about seeking the Lord first, and that we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, our God, we come to you to rejoice, we come to you to praise you, we come to you to thank you, we come to ask for a better world. We come to offer our lives in your service. Lord, what is it that we need in this world that you have created? Lord, we believe that without the power, without the work, without the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, this cannot happen. Yes, Lord, what we pray for is revival. Revival in the hearts of men and women who believe in you and serve you. And Lord, by the power of the Spirit, we want people who do not know you to be stirred, to come, to hear the truth, and to receive the gift of salvation. You are a wonderful God. Father, you sent your Son into the world to be our Saviour. Jesus came and gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And he did not stop there, because as promised on the third day, he rose again. And we do not worship a dead God. We worship a living, risen Saviour. We worship a powerful God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And so, Lord, in our prayers today, as we pray for the world, as we pray for our own country, as we pray for your church, as we pray for this church, as we pray for our families and our friends, Lord, as we do all this, we ask most of all that it will be all, Lord, about you. We pray, Lord, that by the power of the Spirit there will be great and new things happening in this world. But Lord, first of all, we've got to ask for your forgiveness. And we've got to ask, Lord, that you should help us, that we might be empty of self and full of the Spirit. Lord, we are concerned for the world. We're concerned for people that we know. We're concerned for the sick, for the lonely, for the unemployed, for the homeless, and for people in many, many other needs. But Lord, we offer ourselves in your service. And we pray, Lord, that those in this world who believe in you will be the first to serve you, to serve people that have one or other of all these needs. And Lord, as we do this, may people know that we don't do it in our own strength, but we do it in the power of the Spirit. We do it in accordance with your will. And so, Lord, we bring, yes, our family and friends, we bring each other to you. But, Lord, in all of this, we ask that you and you alone will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jim.
So again, as we're thinking about the believers coming together, there's a verse in this song, "Our heart is to bring you glory, Lord, as we show love one to another. Your heart's desire is unity forever in hearts and souls and minds." So we're going to sing, "Guard us, guide us, lead us."
Stephen,
and the reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 47. The fellowship with the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Amen. Amen. Sorry, I'm just in awe of those scriptures. I love them. I got a bit distracted. So we're going to sing, "For I'm Building a People of Power." It doesn't really need introduction.
Spirit takes control, and things that man on his own could make could not complete, but the Spirit works through us. The Spirit works through fellowships in wonderful ways. And you know, when the Holy Spirit is allowed complete freedom in a fellowship of believers, then let us see what can be achieved. In those six verses, we are given some of the marks of a living Christian fellowship. First, they were devoted to the Scriptures. God's Word was important and vital to them. So they were devoted to the Scriptures. They were devoted to meeting one another for sharing. Isn't it good when we can share with each other as believers the things that we do, the problems that we have, our concerns, and all the things that are necessary? You know, too often believers keep things to themselves, but it's much easier if we can share them with other believers, and more important, if we can share them with our Lord. So they were devoted to the Scriptures, to meeting one another for sharing. They were also devoted, of course, for worship. Worship. Vitally important. It is when we worship God that we really realize who we are talking about. God our Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. What a wonderful and tremendous God we can believe in and serve. Yes, so they were devoted to Scriptures, to meeting one another, to sharing. They met together for worship and, of course, for prayer. How important it is. Not just we praying on our own, but praying together as God's people. You know, some wonderful things have happened when various believers have met together in prayer. Sometimes perhaps they've just done it as a matter of routine, but wonderful things have happened. And the prayer that has been answered in many cases has been far more than the people who prayed have actually expected. Why? Because prayer is powerful, and so is the God that we pray to, and He will have His way. Yes, so they were devoted to Scriptures, to meeting one another, for sharing, for worship, for prayer. And I believe that the breaking of bread refers not only to the Lord's Supper, which is vital, but also to sharing meals in one another's homes. And it was, my friends, in this context that the services and worship often took place. Not necessarily in the church, but in one another's homes. Yes, so they joined together for the breaking of bread, for sharing with each other, but also to sharing meals in one another's homes. And I can tell you how vital that is. It's so much easier to invite a non-believer into a home than a church. If the person doesn't believe, then, well, the church could be an embarrassment to them. It could be a place where they feel uncomfortable. But in a home, there can be a great and wonderful time of fellowship. And you know, it was when people met in homes, had fellowship and food together. It was often in this context that the service of worship would have taken place. Not expected, but would happen. Devotion to prayer is, my friends, a prelude to any great work of God. Before the revival in the Hebrides, some people met 3 nights a week for months and months to pray long and sacrificially. And look what happens when prayer is like that. And you know, awe of God is another mark of true Christian fellowship. Because when the Holy Spirit works powerfully in a group and the fear of God falls on them, then and only then will the world be taken out of its complacency. We want the world. Why? We want the world for Jesus. A true fellowship also shares money and possessions to meet people's needs and is full of joy and peace. I wonder, do other people see joy and peace in our Christian life? I sincerely hope they do. And you know, the home is still undoubtedly one of the best of all settings for evangelism. Why should I say that? Well, frequently I have personally seen the value of home, with gatherings ranging from 6 to 50 people, but usually between 20 and 40. That's an experience that Eunice and I have had the privilege of being involved in. Here is the framework for genuine communications, providing an opportunity for declaring the good works of Jesus, together with discussion, debate, argument, spontaneous testimony from the Christians present. Do you know what we did in London? We did the Alpha course, which helped lots of people, but we always did it in our home. We didn't do it in the church, although the church was not far away. We did it in our home because we found that people were more comfortable, people who didn't know God and perhaps didn't even want to know God, but would come into our home. And what happens first? We enjoyed a meal every time, not just at the beginning of Alpha, but every time. And some of you would have heard about this before, but one of the people that came, called Edwin, he was honest. He said, only come for the food, don't cover all this other stuff. But he lasted throughout the course, joined the meal, he talked to people, and more important, people talked to him. And then he became a believer. Then he wanted to do more than be in the church. So he prepared himself, studied, and then went out with the Baptist Missionary Society as a missionary. Whilst there, met his wife. And he is now serving in the very church that held those Alpha courses. And he works full time now for Tiafa. He has a family, 2 young children, and a believing wife. God can work, and God does work in a wonderful way. Our home was used powerfully. Oh yes. But how? Our home was used powerfully by the Spirit of God. It wasn't because it was just in our home. It was nothing to do with our part. It was to do with the Spirit moving in a freedom of area, of freedom of thought, of freedom for fellowship. No one felt uncomfortable because the Spirit was in control. And you know, it is a relaxed environment for those who might feel uncomfortable and on the defensive when they're in a church building. It provides a setting in which people's personal difficulties and doubts can be expressed and perhaps resolved. I remember a young couple, the bride-to-be, her parents were believers. She came to church. She would say that she believed. Then she found a boyfriend. Oh, he had no time for the church at all. And so the parents were worried. They prayed. Was this the right relationship? And then I was asked to meet the young man. And I thought, well, he's not going to like coming into the church to meet me. Where did I meet him? I met him in a pub. And you know, while we were talking, he said, you know, Bruce, he said, I didn't know people, Christians, could be like this. He and his bride came to faith. The home is a marvelous field for evangelism. And Christians who catch a vision of this have an immense contribution to make for the kingdom of God today. Don't despise our homes. Use them and use many other ways. Yes, there are many other ways. And of course the gospel is preached in the church. And of course many people come to faith from what they hear in the church. But the home is also not only a place to bring the gospel to people, but also to help them mature once they accept Jesus. In other words, in their discipleship. You know? So, let us know that if we want to see the Spirit working in and through us as the church, as individuals, we need to use all the openings that God gives to us. I suppose when I first started in the ministry, I'd met our minister in his home, and perhaps I didn't even realise then what he was doing. And he was making me feel much more comfortable. It was a large church, and well. So there we are, friends. Let us use all that God provides for us to help other people. And may God's kingdom be extended. And may he and he alone be glorified. Amen.
So thank you for those encouraging words, Bruce. And so we're going to sing two songs. One is Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God, Awake. And we do need to wake up and take the message to the nations and in our houses. And then we're going to sing Colours of Day, Dawn into the Mind. Light up the fire, let the flame burn, open the door. Let Jesus return.
Thank you.
Wednesday, and it's at 1 o'clock.
Avenue Church.
And everybody is welcome. All right. So that is Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We wish them all the best. It's going to be a lovely occasion. I'm quite sure about that. But they've had quite a time because it means that they've been turning two houses into one, as it were. So they must be quite tired at the moment. But the Lord will refresh them. Amen. And it will be a special day.
It will.
And then I want to tell you,
praise the Lord,
that is Wednesday, and I value your prayers for what I'm going to tell you now. On Thursday, Deborah, Graham, Eunice and I, and Dean, who is such a good driver, we're going through London to Kent for the funeral on Friday. We're going on Thursday of Graham's brother, Gary. When quite young, their mother died, Gary and Graham, they left home and came to London on their own. And they've had a great friendship ever since. Graham's not going to find it easy. He is hoping to say a few words and to do a little reading. you need your prayers. They've asked me to conduct the whole service, so I value your prayers. So, wedding on Thursday, journey on Sunday.
Wedding on
Wednesday.
Wedding on
Wednesday. No ride on Thursday, funeral on Friday, coming back on Friday after the funeral, and on Sunday, we join together. Palm Sunday,
yes.
To remember the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem.
Amen.
And that week, on the Friday, Good Friday, we meet again here for worship, same time, Sundays, and then the following Sunday, of course, is Easter Sunday.
Amen.
And that reminds us, our Lord's not dead. He is alive, praise God. Right, so let us join together. Say a deep breath.
Thank you.
We'll go back to bed then. Go to thoughts.
May the
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.